You know, it's amazing how sometimes we make Christianity so complicated. You ever walk out of a sermon and you say, wow, that was impressive. And then you turn to the person who's with you and say, what'd he say? It was impressive, but you didn't get it. You know what's humbling and embarrassing? Be up here just preaching away and you know it sounds good, and then the Holy Spirit says, Ed, just hush. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. I'm sure that never happened to you, but it's happened to me a few times. It is amazing how complicated we try to make Christianity. Back when I was a kid, they used to talk about 50-cent words, you know, people using big words. Well, when my wife went back to college to get her teacher's degree, she brought home a paper that was written by the assistant dean of religion. And he didn't use any 50-cent words. He used $20 gold piece words. I mean, it was incredible, the words that he used to confuse folks. But you know, Christianity is really simple. It really, really is. Christianity can be summed up in two words. Two words. The first one only has four letters. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The very first word that explains Christianity is the word come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Not come to a church. Not come to a belief system. Not come to some ism. Not come to religion. Not come to a list of rules and regulations. But come to a person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Very simple. Why do we need to come to Jesus? Well, because we're human, we have a sin problem. We were born with a sin nature. And the only way to deal with that sin nature is to come to Jesus. Now, I can hug you. I can love on you. Everybody in here can give you a hug. But we can't do away with the sin nature. Only Jesus can do that. And because we have a sin nature, we commit sin. Now, some of us may commit more or less than others, but it doesn't matter. One sin can send us to an eternal hell. I mean, now, like these light fixtures up here, how many links has got a break before somebody's got a headache? Just one. All of them don't have to break, just one. And whoever's sitting under is going to have a headache. Now, don't get nervous on me now. You know, I didn't sabotage any of them. You know, one sin out of that sin nature, and we are eternally lost. But Jesus says, come to me. Believe in me. Confess that I am your Lord. I'm your Savior, that I died on the cross for your sin, and you'll be saved. Come to Jesus. And when we have that sin nature and we realize, yes, I am lost, yes, I am doomed, yes, I have no hope, but there's the light, there's Jesus. And we come to Jesus, confessing our sin, and accepting Him as our personal Lord and Savior, He makes us new. He makes us new. Paul writes, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. He's made all over anew. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day to do it. Don't think, well, maybe I've got tomorrow and next week and next year. Not a one of us know. Not a one of us know. You may have just gotten a doctor's appointment that said you're in A number one top shape. But that don't prove a thing. If some drunk hits you on the highway. Come to Jesus and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And He will deal with that sin nature. He will take that sin nature and transform it into a God-like nature, a Christ-like nature. And instead of a heart that desires to sin, we have a heart that desires to do good. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus also because of our problems. Our problems. Every one of us here have things that bug us. You know, if we went around, you know, and a lot of these things we wouldn't share with one another. Mistakes we made in the past. Times our feelings were hurt. Times we hurt somebody else's feelings. Times we were disappointed. All kinds of situations in our past. Hurts, heartaches. Bring those to Jesus. You know, psychiatrists may help you. A counselor may help you. But oh, when you lay them at the feet of Jesus. When you lay them at the feet of Jesus. What a difference it makes. I read an illustration in a book this week. This guy had on a backpack, preacher, and there's all kind of sticks laying around. And then there was a wooden cross there on the platform. And he went over and picked up one of those sticks and he said, that's that person I didn't forgive, and he put it in his backpack. And went over and picked up another one and said, that's that person I despise. And he put it in his backpack. And there's what mom and daddy did to me. And he put it in his backpack. And next thing you know, he's bowed down and can't hardly get around because he's got all of these troubles in his backpack. All of this pain in his backpack. And then he goes over and lays them at the foot of the cross. One by one, one by one. What a difference it makes. I think I've shared this before, maybe as much as a year ago. But back when the Incredible Hulk was such a big deal on TV, I was going through some difficult times. You know how the Incredible Hulk was just a normal guy, and then all of a sudden, whenever he got mad, he just blew up, and he's a big, great big dude. And I was going through some things, and I was talking about laying him at the feet of Jesus. And I'm picking up this big old problem, whatever it was, whoever it was, and I'm going over here, and I'm laying it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus has got sort of a Santa sack. And I'm dropping it in there, and I go here, and I pick up the next one, and I say, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. And after a while, I've dumped all of my troubles, you know, big old rocks, in the sack that Jesus had. And then suddenly, I start feeling sorry for Jesus. And then, What is he going to do with all of those problems? I mean, I'm having trouble picking up one of them, and I just dropped them all in his sack. And then all of a sudden, it's just like Jesus, like the Incredible Hulk. He explodes, and he's got a little bag of marbles on his back. That which to me was so tremendous and painful was nothing to Jesus. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. My burden is easy and light. One word, four letters, come. Come to Jesus. Folks, sometimes we mess up. We try to come to church. We try to talk people to come to church. We try to talk people and come in what, to what we believe or to some way of life. You know, I had a relative that used to say, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, I'll be cool. No, we got to come to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, you can believe in marriage, read about marriage, all kind of things, but are you actually married to somebody of the opposite sex and go to live with them? It's totally different. Anybody want to admit, yeah, it was different after we got married than when I was still single. We come to Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our God. And that makes a difference. The second word is even shorter. You come and you go. G-O. We come to Jesus and we go. Before I get on to that, let's back up one and go to the Gospel of John chapter 6. I want to read one verse. Had that in my notes and about missed it. And I don't want to miss this verse. John 6:37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Boy, that's good news. Jesus said, you come and I won't throw you out. You come and you're going to be accepted. You come and you'll be welcome. You come and I will love you. You come and I will forgive you. You come and you'll be safe. You'll be secure. Both for now and all of eternity. You come and bring your problems and I will help you deal with them. I may take them away. I may not take them away. But I'll give you strength or wisdom to know how to deal with them or to whatever. You come and I'll be a part of the solution. Jesus says, you come to me and I will not cast you out. Praise the Lord that Jesus said, you come and you'll be accepted. I thank God for that good news. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ and you come, he won't turn you away. He'll accept you. Now, go. Matthew 28:18-20. You know what it says. Go ye therefore into all the world. Let's start at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then let's read Mark's version of that in Mark 16. Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. All these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, go. Go. Because of what we have received, we go. Because of what we have experienced, we go. Because of the forgiveness and the love, we go. You remember in the Old Testament where there were the four lepers and the city was under siege and everybody was starving? They're outside of the gate and they said, if we go in, we're going to die of starvation. If we sit here, we're going to die of starvation. If we go over to the enemy that has the place surrounded, they might possibly feed. If they kill us, we're still going to die, but they might feed us. Well, they go over here and they find that the enemy, God has scared the enemy out. The enemy's gone and left their tents, their food, everything, and they gather up food and they gather up gold and everything and they go hide it. And they said, wait a minute, we do not well. Those people over there in the city are starving. We ought to go tell them. We've already got more than we can eat. We've already collected more than we can spend. We need to go tell them. And so then when they go back over to the city and said, hey, anything you want to eat's out there. All the stuff that you need's out there, go. And they open the gates and they go out to get it. Well, folks, if you've received anything from the Lord, go. Go share it. Go tell somebody the good news that Jesus Christ died for them. Go explain to them what Christ means to you. Go share it. Now, notice there, Jesus said, all power and is given to me and I'm going with you. You don't go in your own strength. If you do, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up and you're going to blow it. But if you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you go in the anointing of God, and hey, you don't have to be a preacher. That's available to everybody. If you go in the power of God, you can be blessed. And you can bless others. And he says, go and make disciples. Now, so often we've just made converts. We've got people to pray a sinner's prayer and then we never see them again. How many kids have walked maybe the aisle of this church during Bible school and said, or in their class in Bible school and said, I received Jesus, and you never seen that kid since? Jesus said, you go make disciples. Go make sure of people that love you and know. Know. Go make disciples. People are lost. They're unsaved. They're on their way to hell. And you and I know them. They're people that I'll never see. I don't know the people you work with. I don't know your next door neighbors most of the time. Go. Come to the Lord, then go. Go and share Jesus. And go and minister to the hurting. Do you remember back over in Matthew? It says Jesus was there and the sheep and the goats. I was in prison and you came to me. I was sick and you visited me. I was all of these needs. Naked, you clothed me. Hungry, you fed me. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Inasmuch as you didn't do it unto these, you did it not unto me. Do you remember in Galatians where he says, bear you one another's burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. I talked to a lady this week and she was in tears of gratitude for the way her Christian friends had blessed her during a time of need. She was just crying out of blessing. Because she felt so loved by her brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And each one of us needs to do what we feel it anointed and led of the Spirit to do. Now, the jail in Tulsa is something like 1,000 and has both men and women's wings. And before my wife went to teaching full time, she and some other ladies used to go on a Tuesday afternoon, every Tuesday afternoon, and they'd get 30 or 40 ladies in there and they'd minister to them. Sometimes they'd get saved, sometimes they'd, but you know. And then there was a group of men that went on Friday nights. And you'd see on their Facebook posts the next day, we had 5 saved last night or whatever. They were excited. I never felt led to go to jail. But I could do some other things. Each one of us have our own gifts. And then I want to ask you to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it talks about comforting others with the consolation with which God has comforted us. In other words, you go through a hard time, you go through a difficult time, and the God sees you through that time, then you turn around and use that to bless somebody else. I know a lady, and she and her husband are similar, but I mean, you know, in this experience, but the lady particularly, beautiful, precious 15-year-old daughter. Just as pretty as she could be, just as sweet as she could be. They really weren't ready for her to date, but she was liking a guy in the church who was 16. And she and her husband allowed their daughter to go, the boy to come pick her up, take him to his house, have supper with his mom and dad, watch a movie. And on the way back, there's a wreck, and the girl and the boy were killed. 16 years old, first time she'd ever been on a date. Mom was devastated. Mom has a hurt, a scar that will be there forever. But you know something special? I can't tell you the number of times the Lord has brought somebody into her path, mom's path, that's lost a child. And out of the consolation with which God has given her, she's been able to minister to that other person that's hurting. Allow the Lord to use you and your need to be blessed and to be a blessing. Isn't this simple? You come to Jesus, receive all that he has for you, and then you go share it. It can't get any simpler than that. It doesn't get any easier than that. It's not complicated. And I don't think I use many 50-cent words, much less $20 gold piece words. Come to Jesus and go share Jesus. And folks, when we do that, we'll be Bible Christians. As we sing an invitation, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If there are other decisions you need to make this morning, just remember, four letters come, 2 letters go. That's all that's involved in Christianity. As we stand to sing, if you need to make a decision, come. If you just need to come to the altar, would you come?